was taught to write out a sermon, so I've got a whole manuscript here, which is good on days like this when some of my thinking is not as clear as it ought to be. For example, I did not think, when Dave came up, but I did not thank all of you. In January, we will have been here for 14 years. Wow. I mean, that's the age of my oldest child. So that you all have provided for me, for my family, now for just about a decade and a half is astounding to me, and certainly one of the greatest blessings the Lord has done in my own life. So thank you to you all. We're going to be back in John's Gospel, and we're going to see that there's a world of difference between seeing something and receiving it or experiencing it. Right? You can see a photo of a mountain, but hiking that or climbing it, if it's a steep one, is a far different experience. You can know, and many of you probably do right now, that a gift is coming in the mail. Right? We're still in that period, kind of right after Black Friday, where maybe some things have come and others. Well, I've got one package that has entered and left Lenexa, Kansas 4 times now over the last 3 days. It's like it just keeps circled around, right? So you can know that something is coming, but until it arrives, right, until you have it in your hands, it hasn't really had its full effect, has it? You can know all about how to drive a car, as one of my children, who shall be unnamed, tells me. But until you actually get behind the wheel and put that knowledge into practice, can you really say that you know how to drive? Those examples are a bit like what we're going to see in John's Gospel this morning. It's one thing to know about the Word, that is to say, it's one thing to know about Jesus and how he was, with the Father in the beginning, as we read earlier in this book, how the Word is divine and created all things. Right? You can know those facts and yet not live according to them. It's a bit like watching the weather, right? You can see that it says perhaps that there's 100% chance of snow, but if you don't dress or plan accordingly, do you really believe the forecast? This morning, we're going to go deeper into John's Gospel. Deeper into why the Word, Jesus, is so important and what we are to do in response to him. So by all means, we must know about the Word. Don't hear me saying that knowledge doesn't matter. No, knowledge is crucial. It's foundational. We must know, but our knowledge isn't just something to be filed away. It's not just something that, maybe some of you do this. You find something really interesting or thoughtful, and maybe it's online, so you either print off the web page, if you're old school like I am, or you save it, and it's saved somewhere on your hard drive, and you never come back to it. Right? It's there, somewhere. That's not what we want to do with God's Word. The point isn't just that we have knowledge somewhere that we can maybe access if we need to. No, the point is that what we know is to transform us and change how we live, to change our course, our direction. That's what we're after as Christians and here in John's Gospel. So, let's see that challenge together. If you're not already there, why don't you turn to John's Gospel. That's the fourth gospel, fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. We're in chapter 1, and we're going to pick up in verse 6, which is where we left off last time. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And so the first chunk we need to see in our verses today is witness to the light. Up to this point, we've been learning a whole lot about the Word. So if you weren't here with us last week or just need a refresher, you skim through verses 1 through 5, you're going to see that word, come up a lot. And that's what John's been focusing on here at this point. He tells us that the Word was there in the beginning, not created. So Jesus is not just like God's best creation or something. No, the Word is God. The Word was with God. The Word, to use John's language, was God. The Word is the one who gives life and light to humanity. All those are facts that John wants us to know. This is the knowledge. These are the truths that we need to embrace. And as John's going to reveal in due time, all of those are true descriptions of Jesus Christ. And so he's using this word picture to show us something about Jesus. What is it, though? Why do these facts matter? Well, there's a whole bunch we could say, but I want to zero in on what I see as perhaps the most crucial reason. Responding to the Word is so important that God sent a man to tell everyone about it. Think of that. I mean, it's not just that Jesus showed up one day like, some new product on the market or something like that. And no, God sees the arrival of Christ as so important that he actually sends someone to prepare the way, to using an old word, kind of to herald the coming of the Messiah. So it is here. And what we are reading of is John the Baptist, the prophesied one who was sent to prepare the way for the Lord. The fact that John's entire recorded life is about honoring Jesus tells us something important about Jesus and how he's the center of everyone and everything. He's the very center of what God is doing. Literally, the all of God's plans, the universe, it revolves around Messiah, the one who is king. So what is John to do? He is to bear witness to who Jesus is and to prepare the way to tell people of what he will do. You know, every once in a while, I let my wife talk me into watching one of those, you know, sort of Victorian era British masterpieces. You know, like Jane Eyre and things like that. I'm sure she's going to correct me and say that's not Victorian era or something. Sorry, ladies. But I have learned something from watching those, okay? So in those movies, a large amount of time is spent showing how ornate everything was, right? From the mansions, the country houses that people lived in to, you know, of course, the fancy clothing that they would all wear. And one practice that I've seen in each of these movies that's going to help us see what John's role is, you know, whenever there's a fancy ball, have you noticed this? When a couple comes in, there's always the butler and the servants and that sort of thing. And that butler is going to ask the couple their names, and then he leads them into the ballroom, and he announces them, doesn't he? You know, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, or the Reverend So-and-so and his wife. Right, the Honorable General such and such. Well, in a more profound and important sense, that's what John the Baptist's role is. He is announcing, not himself, he's not building his own brand, right? This is not to fill out his Instagram feed and get more followers, no. He's pointing to Jesus. He's saying, this is the one, this is the guy. And that's all that John is doing. Takes none of the glory for himself. It's as if John is pointing the big spotlights on the Savior. And that's what we're reading of here. John's role is to witness to Christ in such a way that all who hear him would not just go like, oh, okay, so there's this Jesus guy coming along, he's going to be pretty great. No, it's instead that they would respond to what they're hearing. And that's our first challenge for you. you and me this morning, isn't it? Do you know this Jesus that John is pointing to? Notice I said no, not know about. You and I can know about all kinds of people. Celebrities, politicians, movers, shakers in our society and in our world. But that's very different than actually knowing somebody. John wants you to know the King of the universe. Not just know about him, but actually to have a relationship with him. Do you? If you don't, then you can. If you haven't already, take time to talk to him today, to pray. Admit that you don't deserve his care or mercy. You haven't earned it. And yet, the grace of God is that you can ask him to save you anyway. You can ask him to show his grace and mercy to you. Right? That's how you can know Jesus. You can trust him as your Savior. Others of you need to consider the plans that Jesus has for your life. True, neither you or I is John the Baptist, but we're still called to witness about Christ. That's what Jesus himself tells us in the Great Commission. In what ways, then, can you genuinely say that your life is a testimony, is a witness to Christ? Would anyone know that you follow Jesus with how you speak, how you spend your time, your money, with what you're hoping for during this holiday season, with what you're prizing? And how is that reflecting or not on Jesus? And if it's not, then what would it look like to start living more fully for him so that your unsaved family or friends or neighbors would see and understand something is different about him or her. And I want to know what it is. What will that look like for you? Witnesses to the light. Now, there are two ways that people respond to the light. Two ways that people will respond to Jesus. We're going to see them both here. Starting in verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. All right, so you start with the bad news, the rejected light. The first way that people respond to Jesus is that they refuse him. They don't receive him. And have you ever thought about it like that? The offer of knowing God is made available to all. It's not a restricted club where only some folks are able to come in. No, Christ's offer is for everyone to respond to. And yet, some reject him. It's like having a commercial break in the middle of the sermon, isn't it? You know, think of it like a piece of mail that comes. Ultimately, you can, you know, accept it, open it, or, if you're like me with junk mail, you reject it, tear it up, throw it in the trash. You don't have the option to not have it show up in the first place, though. The gospel is true news, whether you want it to be or not, and I pray that you do. So the question is, what will you do with this news? Will you receive it, respond to it, or reject it? Sadly, we read here, even from John's account, that many in the world, the very world Jesus created, remember, reject Christ. They did not receive him. They rebel against their king. In fact, that's true still today, isn't it? And in fact, it's true for every one of us, at least in one sense. We are all sinners who need the Savior, rebels who need God to change us. The difference is that those who embrace Jesus, they lay down their arms. They join Team Jesus rather than opposing him. And yet what John is highlighting here is that the opposite is also true. some choose to remain Christ's enemies, to reject him, to reject his work, to choose not to know him. They refuse the introduction to him that God is offering. Brothers and sisters, make sure that's not you. Don't let the message of Jesus, the good news, the gospel, pass you by. Don't treat it like so many other things in this world of just, oh yeah, here's the newest fad, the newest thing. No, the blessing of the gospel is this is nothing new. It's been God's plan since the beginning. And yet it doesn't need to be new. Sometimes the best things that we need are not new at all, but instead old and tried and proven and most of all, true. Brothers and sisters, this is serious stuff, isn't it? Right, this Christmas, ask yourself and answer honestly. Answer yourself truthfully. Do you trust Jesus? Or have you rejected him? And if so, understand that in God's grace, there's still time. You can turn to him. Don't be one who refuses to know the Savior of grace and peace and hope and joy. That leads us then finally to the other way to respond to Christ. Rather than rejecting him, we're going to see the picture of receiving him, and that's verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They received light. Though many reject Jesus, refusing to acknowledge him, those who instead do otherwise, who receive him, believing in him, you might even say it this way, following John the Baptist's lead of pointing to him, they become children of God. And this is what Jesus offers to all who believe in him, a new life, new birth, a new family. Right, a life that is so wonderfully different than this one. A birth that is not based on the normal ways of this world. And a family made up of folks who have been similarly transformed by Jesus. And even, oh so much more, a family where you and I have a relationship with our Father and with his Son. So notice the differences then as John spells all this out. All the normal ways in which you know, we think of children coming about through biology, through passion, through human decision. None of those define the children of God. It does not matter what family you were born into. It doesn't matter whether you were, whether you're being brought up with your biological family or you've been adopted. It doesn't matter whether you were wanted or unwanted by your parents. The new reality for those who trust in Jesus is that we are defined by God himself. To be a child of God is to have your entire identity changed. It's to have an inheritance that's better than even the best of what this world can offer you. To be a child of God is to have eternal life in a kingdom that perhaps seems only like a dream to those who would reject Jesus, but it's a kingdom which is and always shall be the reality for those who do trust him. All of which then leads us to this. How will you receive the word this Christmas? How will you respond to the light? This Christmas, I pray that you enjoy Jesus, not just by knowing about him, though that's a start, not just by going through some traditional motions, well, that's not bad, but instead I pray that you would know Jesus Christ, becoming acquainted with him, becoming family with him, and as such that you would have joy in him forever as you receive his peace, living in that peace forever. This is our hope. This is what we call on the Lord to do. Let's pray. Father, we need a peace that goes beyond what we can provide for ourselves. We need the peace that you have already provided, the peace that you sent John the Baptist to prepare for and to point toward, the peace that's found only in the Word, your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Lord, that you would have us find our peace in him. We wouldn't keep searching for substitutes or for imitations elsewhere, but that, Lord, you would have us to trust Jesus, to love him, and respond knowing that he has first loved us. And would you give us joy in Christ as we follow after him? Would you give us peace in Christ, knowing that our sins are forgiven? And then would you enable us to be witnesses of our good Savior, our great King, to those all around.